verse by verse through 1 John, and we're going to skip last few verses. We'll go back to them, and I want to go to the Christmas story a little bit, traditional thing and a well-used text that you hear a lot about, and I'll not try to just make a message out of it, but we'll read it some, talk about it a little bit, and really see what the Bible has to say about it. Sometimes a lot of religious tradition and ceremony gets messed up when you really check it out by the Bible. And be a little bit informed about it. Let's go to Matthew 2. We could go to Luke and so forth, but let's just go to Matthew chapter 2. And of course, we start off the New Testament, and Matthew actually takes us from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we'll start off with it. I've pointed out before, I like to point it out because a lot of the new versions of the Bible pervert things from time to time. All you got to do to mess up God's truth sometime is just one letter. Don't have to be a whole word even. Sometimes just one letter. And that's the case right here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. If you look at it with me, some of the Bibles will say the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but that's not what it says in Old King James. It says the book of the generation, no S on it, of Jesus Christ. If you go back to Genesis and you read over in Genesis, chapter 5, I believe it is, in verse 1, you can find that quick. That's the first book in the Bible, so just go ahead and look at it. Won't take you long. We do believe in bringing our Bibles to church, right? Okay. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations, with an S on it, of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. I want you to get the word generations, not genealogy, but generations with an S. Say, what's the difference? One little letter, the letter S. One is plural, one is singular. So we come back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and it is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now there's something else you could see in Genesis if we turn to it, as it gives the genealogies and the histories and the age and so forth of the people that's introduced to you in the book of Genesis. You'll read something like this. You'll read that he lived this long, and then there's a statement, and he died. You read about another man, he lived this long, and he died. Another man lived this long, and he died. See, it's generations of man with an S on it. But when you come to Jesus, he lives forever. So here you got Matthew 1:1 says the book of the generation, singular. Jesus conquered death. Death conquered those other men. They died. Methuselah lived, what, 969 years? But he died. But he died. But you say, well, Jesus died. No, he laid down his life and he took it up again, Scripture says. So it's important sometimes just one little letter that makes a whole truth or destroys a whole truth that you have to see as you see the Bible being so consistent. I could jump in anywhere, but let's go to Matthew chapter 2. And talk about it just a little bit. We'll read some, talk about it some, and just keep your Bible open verse by verse as we go through it. It says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now we know all the cute sayings. I mean, wise men come to Jesus. We understand some of the little things. There's a truth there, no doubt about it. But wise men came from the east. Now there's some theory. Nobody knows for sure exactly where they came from. Some think way off. I mean, east could be Japan or China or somewhere. I don't think so. I think it's talking about east of Jerusalem, and while it was a good distance to travel, even if you were traveling first class on a camel, it was still a pretty rough trip. And so they came by caravan, I'm sure, and they traveled from the east. Now, folks want to know, well, where might it be? Well, it was east of Jerusalem. By the way, God in the Bible points out almost everything from the location of Jerusalem. It's believed to be the center of the earth. In a sense, it's the place where God came down when Jacob spent his first night away from home, pillowed his head on a rock, saw what we often as kids used to play with. We called it Jacob's ladder when he saw the angels descending and ascending on it. And that place yet turned out, and I'm going to apologize one time for coughing, but I'm allergy, all this business. I just have it all the time. My regular folks know that. They get used to it. In fact, every now and then you see them, some of them trying to help me. But it don't help much. But it made clear in a minute. But anyway, that location where Jacob spent the night away from home, he got scared when he woke up and said, this is a place God was here and I didn't know it. Well, that is the place God set up later on, the place that it already was the place where Abraham had offered Isaac. It became the center part, and there's a real debate going on right now as to where that exact location is on the Temple Mount. Of course, the Arabs want to claim that it's under the Dome of the Rock. There's some strong evidence that maybe it's not, but it is in the area, and some of you have been over there. We've been through the Eastern Gate that's been blocked up according to prophecy and still blocked up till Jesus comes, and when he comes, he will come through that gate. All of that is really a good, interesting study there. But these men came from the east. If I was going to give you my best guess, their direction, I think they came from the area where a fellow by the name of Balaam had lived. He was oftentimes, we refer to him as a hireling prophet, because he wanted to take gifts from Balak, heathen king, to curse Israel. Remember the story? You'll remember it when I say this. That's the fellow the donkey talked to. You remember him now? The donkey was smarter than a man. I've seen some men that would fit in that category. But anyway, the donkey had to save his life because the angel was there with the sword to cut his head off. What was he doing? He was trying to travel to curse Israel. And God wouldn't let him curse Israel. And that's an interesting story over there. But I believe these wise men may have come from that area. Now, that area would have been around Euphrates, maybe Baghdad, Babylon, somewhere in that area, but it would have been Syria. There's a word, in fact, I'm on, go with me, Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 23, and pick it up in maybe about verse 7. I believe that's where I'm wanting to go. Numbers 23, verse 7. Yes, I believe I'm right on it here. This is the area where Balaam was at. And he'd opened his mouth to curse Israel, and God had put a blessing in it instead. It's quite a story if you read it there. But in Numbers 23 and verse 7, and he took up this parable and said, Balaam's talking now. He took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, A-R-A-M, out of the mountains of the east. Now, where'd the wise men come from? They came from the east. Aram there is another name for Syria. So the best location I can come up with in Scripture is they were around Syria, and that's to the east of Jerusalem. And they probably came from that direction. The other reason I believe that is because they were following a star. They were looking for the star, and the star was the star that Balaam, a crooked prophet, a bad preacher, he'd have took money if he could have, if God would have let him, to curse Israel. But he's the one gave the big prediction of a star coming out of Jacob. Go with me. I'll let you look at that with me. Let me see. It's back in Numbers again. Pick it up with me in Numbers 24. We were real close there. Numbers 24, and I won't read all of it because of time, but there's the prediction here again of Balaam. He's again talking about how this heathen king, Balak, was trying to hire him to curse Israel. But some famous verses predicting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was made by this fellow Balaam. So you go to Numbers chapter 24, pick it up in verse 17. Verse 17, Balaam says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. Drop on down to verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. I like the accuracy of God's word always. In the King James Bible in verse 19, it says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall. A lot of importance on the word shall. That's future. Shall have dominion. He is coming back. He is going to set up his kingdom. He is going to have dominion. And here's the prediction way back here that that's going to happen. That the star, this Messiah that's going to come, is going to have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And all of these predictions right here, I believe the wise men very likely knew the prophecy and was looking for the star. I suspect they also read out of the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and had pretty well pinned what time, about the time that the Messiah would arise. You know something? If you study and had a good message on it Sunday night about the prophecies and the chance of mathematically proving the prophecies, nothing could prove Jesus as the Son of God, Messiah, any greater than the prophecies he fulfilled. And these wise men were studying the prophecies. We'd be wise today to study the prophecies. We got a lot of reason today to expect this return of the Lord Jesus Christ, long time predicted, but long time so much being fulfilled. So here, I think the wise men, and somebody says, well, there was three of them. We don't know that for sure. You say, but I saw the picture of the nativity scene. Uh-huh. A little bit misleading sometimes, some of those things. Let's read on just a little bit further. Let me just move to this, talking about the nativity scene. Pick it up in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. Now, you remember they've come to Herod. Big old hypocrite Herod told him he wanted to worship the kid too, so wanted to find out where he was. And when the wise men left, they didn't go to the manger. They didn't go where Jesus was born. They didn't go where the shepherds gathered around that night with Mary and Joseph. Read it here in Matthew chapter 2. I know it messes up the nativity scene, but here it is. Chapter 2, verse 11, and when they were come into the house, he's moved to a house. He's not in a manger. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Every kid that's ever had to do a Christmas program has memorized this. You've all seen it. Now, why we think there's three? Because we think they took one man per gift. So that's the way we count three. We don't know that. We make an assumption right there. But he had been in the house. If I was going to say, I'd say he's been in the house a year, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. You say, why? Because Herod wanted to kill him, remember? And he wanted to be sure he got him. So he killed all the babies in that area from 2 years old and down. Amen. So in that bracket, he figured if I get from 2 years old and down, I'll get him. Of course, God had warned Joseph in a dream, and he'd taken Mary and the child Jesus and moved on, went back down into Egypt. But a lot of things we make assumptions on, but if you just read the Bible and just take it literally and believe it like it is, it clears some of these things up. Now, we can go on down through the story. The question was asked here, where is he in verse 2, saying, where is he? Born king of the Jews. Now, these wise men moved into Herod's territory, and the message that they were stating was not going to be popular with Herod, because it meant that Herod was a usurper and somebody, God was sending somebody to take his place on the throne. So it wouldn't have made a popular thing with Herod. It says, for we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. Can't you imagine the 6:30 news getting troubled? Still is troubled. And anyway, When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He's troubled because it's talking about him losing his political position. And so he's demanding now that they tell him. And he's going to be a real hypocrite here about it. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And they quote, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel. Now I'll be honest with you here. The scribes didn't accurately quote Micah 5:2. They changed it a little bit. Maybe they changed it to because they were a little bit afraid of Herod. If you go back and compare what it said, maybe that's why. Maybe they wanted to show their scholarship. There's a lot of folks so proud of being smart, and the scribes would certainly fit into that. I don't know. But they give him an answer that keeps their head maybe from getting chopped off. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Now they quote that. By the way, if you read Micah 5:2, it says Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, a lot of folks have asked me through the years, why would it say Bethlehem Ephratah? What does Ephratah mean? Well, basically what it was doing, it was describing that Bethlehem. There was actually another city called Bethlehem. And by saying Bethlehem of Ephratah, it separated out this little Bethlehem. It would be like saying Haines City in Polk County, given a location. Or, and in America, we got a lot of towns named the same thing. But you give an identification of the location, and then you separate that one so there'd be no mistake about it. So that was what was happening. Now, God makes the point here of predicting where he'd be born. The interesting thing to me is that these scribes and Pharisees, the religious crowd of the Jews, knew where and should have known pretty much the time. They should have been the ones watching for the star, not the men from the east. But I hate to say it today, churches, so-called, and even some good ones, sometimes we get into so much tradition we miss the main thing. And we don't want to do that. We want to be careful about that. They should have been watching. Aren't we told to watch for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the question is, how much are we watching? Truth is, when it comes, and the rapture especially will come in a moment in the twinkle of an eye, and I can just hear some folks saying to the Lord, I didn't think it was about to happen. Well, the Bible's telling us it is all the time. We shouldn't be shocked when somebody was telling me this week something, and I didn't see much news this week with everything else going on. Somebody was telling me of some events happening in the news this week. It's the Bible. It's just being fulfilled. It's every bit of it's going to be fulfilled. Somebody was telling me this week, well, they're bombing over there in Damascus, Syria. Well, Isaiah said it was going to be bombed. He said it was going to be destroyed. And it's the oldest, they think, one of the oldest cities in the world, and it's never been destroyed as Isaiah predicted it would be. But right now, it's being hit pretty hard. And that was in the news this week. I've been saying for a good long time, it's the day is going to come, that verse is going to be totally fulfilled. With ISIS and all the terrorists going in there, they've destroyed tombs of people like Jonah and Ezekiel and others in that old city. Just amazing things going on. By the way, did you know that over in that area of Syria, that they still had a great big building that was the Temple of Baal? The same Baal you read about in the Bible. The same Baal that the Israelites and others, when they backslid enough, offered their babies to and all of that business. It's amazing how all that stuff is a little more up to date than you think. Moving on, though, just a little bit because of time here in the Christmas story. The question comes about the star, and there's been all kind of debate about the star. And some of the old timers believe there was a star of Bethlehem that could still sometimes show up and be seen in our day. Now, I've never seen it. I've heard talk about it. I have heard eyewitness testimony that just swore to me that they had seen the star of Bethlehem show up on Christmas Eve or Christmas night, whatever it was. I would like to see that, but I don't know where it'll ever show up to where you and I see it, but it showed up for the wise men, and it led them to the house. Now, the birth's already taken place. By the way, isn't it interesting? God announced the birth on the hillsides of Judea to a bunch of shepherds. He didn't go down to the palace. He didn't go down to Herod. He didn't go down to the hierarchy, but he went to the common. In fact, the shepherds were very common. They didn't smell too good because they slept with the sheep. They had the dirt of the sheep on them. They camped out, what you'd say, almost every night. You would not invite them to your Christmas party. You know what I'm saying? But that's where God sent the greatest message that's ever been sent, to them. That's a good thing for you and I that are just coming. The Lord loved us, and he brought the message to us and sent us the message of his Son. And wonderful, wonderful truth there. But coming on down to the star again, I remember I was sitting in seminary class. I had a little bookcase that I carried and had my Bible in it. And early morning, we had to start classes at 7 o'clock in the morning. Don't you feel sorry for us? We don't start until 8 here at our college. We've gone a little liberal. But I had to be there at 7 and had to drive a good ways to get there. And I remember one morning I rushed right in, and a professor was just getting started. And it was getting near Christmas break, and Christmas talk was in the air. And he come in front of the class, and he said, "How many of you think that the star moved?" And a bunch of us raised our hand. He said, "No, it didn't. It was just there. They saw the star in the east." My Bible was in my suitcase, a little satchel thing. And one of my friends had already pulled his out. And I said, "Hand me your Bible." And he handed me the Bible. And I turned over here to these verses that we're about to read. I stood up. I said, "Let me read you something." Verse 9, Matthew 2. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." I looked at him, I said, "I think it moved." He looked at me. Now, I was risking my grades, I reckon. He looked at me and he said, "Mickey, that's what it says, and you're right." And he said, "That's what I get for listening to a preacher on the radio on the way to class this morning." You got to watch what people say. You got to see what the book says. Amen. That's the thing that counts. That's the most important. By the way, you know the first words that Jesus said that's recorded, that's written in the New Testament, the first words that he spoke? Is in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil is trying to tempt him about looking at all the kingdoms of the world and turning the stones into bread. Remember that? When he was taken out, called it the temptation. First words written in the New Testament in the book of Matthew chapter 4 is Jesus answering the devil. And what does he say? He says, "It is written." Wonder if God's given us a cue about what the most important thing is what God has written, his word. Go be it. Take it. Believe it. You'll be safe. I guarantee you'll be safe going right by the word. Here the star did move. And there's debate. You know, I've read stuff about where NASA knows where the star, what star it was by rolling the computers backwards and all that stuff. Take with a grain of salt. It was a supernatural star. It wasn't just a heavenly star as we think of a twinkle, twinkle little star. The truth of the matter is it was supernatural. It guided them. It moved. It came and stood over where the house was. Did the star show up at the manger? Perhaps it did. But it showed up over the house. Because the wise men, you might say that's the first GPS in the Bible, amen? It took them to the right location, and it wasn't wrong like some of these times we find the, some of this modern stuff is. But the, a lot of things in the story I find quite interesting. And it moved. It went to the house. And again, that's why the wise men were not at the nativity scene at the manger. Now, there's no harm done in that. It's okay. That's all right. But he was at the house. Again, the gifts the wise men brought. That's why we think there was three of them, because we had three gifts. But I think when you look at the gifts, there's a message in them. When we look over there and find what office Jesus fulfilled when he came as prophet, as priest, and as king. That's his offices that he fulfilled. If you look at it, frankincense has to do with the office of a priest. The priest offered frankincense, the Old Testament priest. When you think about the fact that he came as a prophet, myrrh speaks of death. Jesus was a prophet, but he was the Son of God, and he came and he told Pilate, when Pilate was trying to question him, he said, "For this cause came I." He came to die. We sing about it at Christmas. He didn't only get born in a manger, he came to die. We need to understand the babe in the manger don't save anybody, but the Christ on the cross that died for our sins and rose again. That's where our salvation comes. And gold. Gold speaks of kings. So in those three gifts, you've got his office, prophet, priest, and king. And the truth is he has fulfilled two of them. He came and died, and he's our high priest at the right hand of the Father now. But he's coming back as our Lord and King, King of kings and Lord of lords. So even pictured in the gifts, as we think about it at Christmas time, is the whole scope. Don't stop at a manger. Don't just begin and stop at a manger. And there's too many folks think that's the first time Jesus ever existed was in a manger. No, he was in the beginning with God. He was God. And you can even go back in Genesis and find how close the Bible is. When God spoke about creating man, he said, "Let us," plural, "make man in our own image." The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit existed back in the very beginning when the Lord spoke that he would, his creative acts in the book of Genesis. All right, my time is up. I'm afraid to read the Sunday school report, but I'll read it anyway, to be honest, I guess.